Well, amen. Aren't you glad he's coming again? The question is, are you ready? Are you ready? I want to thank the pastor this morning for the opportunity he's extended to me to be able to speak to you this morning and again this evening. And thank you for coming, for your faithfulness to be here and support the work here. And I trust you'll come back this evening. I've got a message this evening that you probably would like to hear. We're going to talk about heaven tonight. Amen. And we're going to get a biblical description of what heaven is like. So let me encourage you to be here this evening. This morning we're going to talk about a subject that's not so pleasant. That's the alternative to heaven. That's a place the Bible calls hell. And a biblical description of that place we're going to talk about this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Psalm 9. Psalm 9. We're going to read one verse. Pastor likes to read a lot of verses. I just read a short one. But he talks longer than I do, so. Psalm 9. If you found Psalm 9, would you stand with me, please, while we read one verse. Verse number 17. Psalm 9, verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us this morning as we approach your word. Holy Spirit, open our minds and hearts to have a right understanding of your scriptures, what you're trying to teach us. Lord, we thank you for loving us and for coming and dying on the cross of Calvary that we might have life. That we might avoid this place called hell. Thank you for salvation, so free and so full in Jesus Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. There's a lot in this verse. We could spend the whole hour talking about the latter portion of that verse. All the nations that forget God. That's another sermon. And one we probably need to hear. But the one I want to speak about this morning is the first part of that verse. The wicked shall be turned into hell. Now, in the Old Testament, the wicked, that term, the wicked, refers to those who are unsaved. Those who are saved are called the righteous. So we have the righteous and the wicked in the Old Testament. So in this verse, he's talking about those who are unsaved. The wicked shall be turned into hell. So what is the ultimate destination for those who are unsaved? The place the Bible calls hell. Now I want to begin by saying this. Hell is not a state of mind. Hell is a real physical place. The Bible teaches us that. But how does one describe hell? Well, I want to give to you this morning what the Bible says about hell. Hell is one of two possible destinations for the human soul. We have a soul that is immortal, never going to die, and it's going to spend an eternity in one of two places, either in heaven or in hell. And who decides? Well, we do a lot of door knocking, and one of the arguments I hear when I knock on doors is, I just don't believe a loving God would send anyone to hell. Well, you know, the answer to that is God doesn't send anyone to hell. people who go there because they chose to go there. You see, that's why Jesus came to the cross and died for man's sin. Had Jesus not paid the sacrifice for man's sin, we would still be under the penalty of sin. But he paid that penalty for every man. He's a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. So potentially, he died for every man's sin. And so sin is not what sends a man to hell anymore. What sends a man to hell is unbelief. He that believeth on him is not condemned, and he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's unbelief that sends men to hell. And if we choose not to believe, it is a choice we made. Thank God I had a choice. Thank God you have a choice. Hell is not a place that I want to visit. Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27. Verse 20. Hell and destruction are never full. Hell and destruction are never full. Never satisfied. Satan wants to get as many people into hell as he can get there. And he's trying awfully hard these days, you and I live in. You know that. I mean, you turn on the TV, the music, the kids hear, the literature they read. Just about everywhere you look or turn, Satan is directing people away from God, away from the Bible. I said in Sunday school this morning, I'm thankful I have this book to guide me and to guide my life. Amen? So I want to talk to you for a few minutes about hell and why folks shouldn't go there. In Luke chapter 16, you can turn with me there. Luke 16, we have a very familiar passage where Jesus is talking about hell. By the way, Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. Okay? And you know why? Because he loves people and he doesn't want people to go there. So he warns people about hell. And here in chapter 16 of Luke, we find a story that Jesus tells about a certain rich man. Verse number 19 begins it. Look with me at verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Now there are those who say that this passage we're reading is a parable. Did you read anywhere where it said this was a parable? Doesn't say that, does it? In fact, what it says is there was a certain rich man. Now, my question, and when I talk to people who say it's a parable, my question is this. Was there a certain rich man, or wasn't there a certain rich man? Well, now, I've kind of got him. Because if they say there wasn't, then Jesus didn't tell the truth. And if they say there was, then this isn't a parable. It's not a parable. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Two people, two men, about as opposite as you can get. One who enjoyed the best of life and one who did not. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. I don't care who you are. If the Lord tarries, you are going to die. It's appointed unto. I remember when I was a kid. And I would be out. I'd leave in the morning, especially in the summertime, to go play ball. And Mama wouldn't see me till supper time. And she would say to me, "You need to get home early tonight because you've got an appointment with a dentist." Well, you know what? I never kept that appointment. I didn't get home in time. But there is an appointment I'm going to have to keep. That's this appointment. It's appointed unto man once to die. But that's not the end. The Bible says after this, the judgment. So we're going to die if the Lord tarries, but we're all going to face God. If you're lost, you'll face God at the great white throne judgment. If you're saved, you'll face God at the judgment seat of Christ. But we all will face a judgment. So these two men die, and they go different places. One was carried to Abraham's bosom, and the other, in verse 23, says, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." So he's in hell, and he is in torments. "And he cried and said, Abraham, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame, this fire. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this." You see that next word? Place. Hell is a place. How do I know it is? The Bible says it is. It's not a state of mind. It's a place. This place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." And we know that to be true because one did rise from the dead. And men still aren't persuaded. But I want to talk to you for a few minutes about this place called hell, where this rich man is this morning as we speak. The first thing I want us to look at is found in Revelation chapter 20. Turn with me, if you would, Revelation chapter 20. Verse 1, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season." So the first description we have of hell here this morning is a bottomless pit. Satan is cast into this bottomless pit. Now, if you're cast into something that doesn't have a bottom, what's going to happen? You're going to fall. And you're going to fall. And you're going to continue to fall. And you're never going to hit the bottom, because there is no bottom. Many people are afraid of falling. So this is one of the fears that it presents, is presented to a person in hell, is the fear of falling. He's going to fall. I think of 9/11. You remember the story of 9/11? Remember seeing the pictures? Those twin towers, 1,300 feet in the air, and people were jumping out of those windows at the top of that building. It took them 9 seconds to reach the ground. But they did reach the ground. Many of them weren't alive when they reached the ground. But they did reach the ground. But in this bottomless pit, folks are going to fall and never reach the bottom. They just continue to fall and to fall and to fall, and expecting to reach a bottom, but never finding one. What an awful condition to be in. That's a picture of hell. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 13. Matthew 22 and verse 13. Matthew chapter 22. Verse 13. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. This place called hell is a place of absolute and total darkness. There's no light there. If there's no light there, do you know what you'll be able to see in hell? Nothing. Nothing. I've knocked on doors, and a lot, one of the things I've heard from some folks, they say, well, I don't mind going to hell because when I get to hell, I'm going to see all my friends. You ever hear that? You know what? I hate to have to tell them this, but they're not going to see them. Because in hell, you can't see. There's no light. But I'll tell you what you can do in hell. You can hear. And do you know what you'll hear in hell? Weeping. Wailing. The gnashing of teeth. People experiencing pain and anguish and sorrow. That's all they'll hear. Boy, wouldn't that be some way to spend eternity? Listening to that? Outer darkness. No light. Mark chapter 9. Talks about where the worm dieth not. The worm. What is the worm? Most people think the worm is the worm of conscience. Where in hell, you'll remember. Remember the rich man? Abraham said, son, remember. Son, remember. In hell, they'll be able to remember. They will remember the time they sat in an old-fashioned Bible-believing church and heard the gospel message being given and the invitation being given and the opportunity to walk the aisle and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they said no to God. They'll remember that. They'll remember the time when they heard Mama pray for them and ask God to save them, and they laughed and made fun of Mama, didn't listen to Mama, didn't get saved, but they'll remember it in hell. I thank God for good mothers who pray for their children to be saved. I'll tell you a little story. It's a true story. It took place in Louisville, Kentucky. And this fellow worked in a plant, and he worked the midnight shift. And he walked to work in the evening and came home in the morning. And when he would leave for work in the evening, his mother would go out to a little building out behind the house. And she would go in that little shack, and she would pray. And all night long, she would pray for her son. Well, her son thought that was unnecessary, and he kind of made fun of it. But that went on for years. Every night, when he would go to work, she would go out to this little building and pray. One night, he walks out on the fire escape of the plant where he worked and trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. He couldn't wait to get home that morning and tell his mama what he'd done. So he goes home that morning. As he approaches the house, he expects to hear his mama out back in that little shack praying. But he doesn't hear it. He approaches the house, and his mother is sitting there on the front porch rocking in a rocking chair. So he approaches her. He said, Mama, you need to hear what I did last night. She said, Son, I already know. I already know. You see, it was the faithfulness of a mother to pray for her child. God heard her prayer. And the young man got saved. But there'll be men in hell who don't get saved, who did not listen to their mother or to the preacher or to anyone else who tried to convince them of the need of trusting Christ as their Savior. That's the worm of conscience they will remember in hell. It's a place of haunting memory. It's a place of parching thirst. One drop of water to cool my parched tongue, he asked for. Just one drop. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. Verse 41, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. A place of wailing and gnashing of teeth, the Bible says. Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Hell is the place of the second death. What does that mean? It's a place where men are dying, but they never die. Always dying, but never dead. What an awful thought. What an awful place to be in. I've been in places like that where men are dying. And I'm sure most of you have as well. And it's not a very pleasant place. But in hell, men are dying and never die. Continually dying. Hell's a place where there's no God. No God. Wouldn't that be sad? To live with no access to God? No God to pray to? No God to hear? No God to answer? No God. It's a place of utter hopelessness. Utter hopelessness. Wouldn't it be sad to live with no hope? I'm glad I have hope this morning. How about you? I've got a future. And if you're saved this morning, you have a future. A glorious future. A home in heaven. But think about folks who don't have a future. If you're lost this morning, you don't have a future. Your best day is today. Your best day is today. My best day is tomorrow. Every day is good, but tomorrow is going to be better. One of these days. And I don't think it's far off, but one of these days, I'm going to get a new body. Amen. I'm going to have hair to comb. I've already got a comb. But I've got something to look forward to. And so do you. But think about folks who don't have that hope. That's most people in the world. They don't have that hope. They live for today because today's all they have. So I live by faith. How about you? Amen? I like that song. You know that song? I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love. From all harm safe in his sheltering arms, I'm living by faith, and I fear no alarm. Isn't that a wonderful way to live? Lost people don't know that. Hell is a place of utter hopelessness. Hell is a lake of fire. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 12 says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. In Mark chapter 9, about verse 40, he says, if your hand offends you, cut it off. It's better to enter into life maimed than having two hands to be cast into hellfire. You know who's preaching? Jesus. If your foot offends you, cut it off. It's better to enter into life halt than having 2 feet to be cast into hellfire. If your eye offends you, pluck it out and cast it from you. It's better to enter into life with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hellfire. Jesus said that. In other words, what he's saying is avoid it at all cost. I think of the World Trade Center. Jumping out of that building 1,300 feet in the air to avoid the fire. That's why they jumped out, was to avoid the fire. The fire was unbearable. So they jumped to their death. But there's a fire burning in hell, unquenchable fire, a fire that will never be extinguished, never go out, but burn continually. By the way, those who are in hell will burn continually and never be consumed. Just burn. Just burn. I don't want to go there. How about you? I don't want my loved ones to go there. How about you? You know, if we really care about our loved ones, we ought to do everything we possibly can to see they never go there. Everything we possibly can to win them to Christ. Everything we possibly can to see them saved. Most of us could do more than what we're doing. And I suspect there's not a person in this room right now who doesn't have a lost loved one. What are we doing to get that person to Christ? What are we doing? Are we doing our best? Are we doing everything we know to do to reach that person? Do we really love that person? Let me encourage you. You have a lost person that you know. Do what you can to get him to Christ. If there's somebody here this morning who doesn't know Christ as Savior, I encourage you to come this morning. We'll take a Bible and show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that heaven is your home and avoid hell for eternity. Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save." Save from what? Save from hell. Save from what? Save for heaven. Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came. That's why he died. That's why he rose again. That's why he ascended back to his heavenly Father. That's why he's coming again. Are we doing all we can do?